While some people would just love the opportunity to shake his hand, many even attribute his art to major personal life change. Well, Britney just wants him to take out the dang trash. You are in for a treat. But before we begin, it's Jack the Lesser and deep thoughts about February the 14th.
If you buy a card for someone, just remember that greeting cards are for people who would rather pay $5 for a stranger to express their feelings than try to do it themselves. Oh, now that's real love.
Hey guys, this is Bree Smoke. Welcome to the V-Day Shorts, a mini-series by the Seacoast Podcast, Things You Won't Hear on a Sunday. This week, we have multiple conversations in the context relationships. Those with childlike faith, we believe all things will be redeemed one day. Love will reign supreme, changing us throughout all eternity. But given full redemption is still drawing closer and not complete, this week, you'll hear about the lives of family here at Seacoast, all of which are full of love from relationships, but unfortunately also tainted with some of that change agent called pain. The beauty of love, the deepest of pains, is the human experience of relationships. The more we love, the more capacity for joy and pain. It's the V-Day Shorts. A minute, an hour, any moment spent with you is like a street of gold, like the stories foretold. The more you make my heart believe again. At times it's hard, sometimes I forget how soft are your hands, how sweet are your lips, how tender your kiss, the length of your hair, the clothes that you wear, how we're the perfect pair, it's just not fair.
Brittany, what's up? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good, yeah.
Last time I saw you, I think it was when we recorded episode one with Brandon.
Oh, that's right.
And I think that's where this idea came about, because you had alluded to, my gosh, the sorts of things that you encountered, you know,
right,
as far as social media and stuff. So we'll get into that here in a second. But
yeah,
you were just telling me that you guys met at Seacoast.
We did. We met at Seacoast. I was a senior at College of Charleston, and Brandon had just come back from his first year at music school. So he was all of like 19. No, I think he was 18.
Yeah.
I was 21. We were going to the Well. Brandon was leading, but he was only playing guitar. So I did not fall in love with like this angelic voice. I was on the soccer team at College of Charleston, and me and like six of my teammates would come to the Well every week. And I remember distinctly walking in one Thursday night, and there was just like this kid. And he was a kid, but like God just shined a light on him. And it was just like, I've never experienced that in my life. And I won't call it love at first sight. I'll just call it like, I was so drawn to him. And after like a couple of times going and like us making eye contact, we finally, you know, connected.
Right.
And
now at the time, did it feel like a noticeable difference in your age?
I think for him, but for me,
he's like, whoa, this older woman.
Exactly.
Checking me out.
Yes. Yes. Cause he was kind of like, you know, young in a college and 20 somethings of what it was. So obviously, like, I think he was probably like, she's probably too old for me. But yeah, we have a 2.5 year age gap. And no, for me, I don't know. It was just something so different. I've never experienced that in my life. But it was like, I mean, he really, when I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, he was so little, like so young.
Did you put out some vibes, sure he knew you were interested, or did he?
No, I definitely like stalked him a little bit on Facebook, of course. He loves to tease me about this, is that there wasn't much, but like his dad's like page came up. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I like stalked his dad. Brandon loves to use that against me. He's like, you totally stalked me. I could tell he was interested. Like, it was very much a mutual, like, he would explain it the same way, but he had to talk to me. He said the silliest things, like, to get my attention. And eventually it led to, like, Facebook messaging. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be weird for you, given when you met. I mean, you guys are sharing the closest relationship you can share with someone. You see it all. Typical married couple. When did the light bulb go off and you're like, my husband just turned famous? Was there
I don't even like say that to him. I'm like, your ministry's growing, you know? And honestly, he cringes at the word famous, because it's just so ungodly, right? Like, it's gross. But the truth is, like, people love him because his songs reach them. They touch him. And so—
And it's not his fault. It's not like he can say, hey, stop making me famous.
Exactly. But I think things kind of blew up 2020. We had toddlers. Like, honestly, I didn't get to go to everything. And so he would be traveling. He would come home and tell me a story about, like, I was in the airport. It got stopped. This. And I think it was really about a year ago when we went to Mexico. And in Mexico, there— was people coming up to us, and it really hit me. I'm like, wow, we really can't even go to Mexico now without someone actually recognizing you. And it's beautiful, but I think that was a wake-up call. I was like, oh, wow, even in Mexico, it's not safe.
Yeah. I want to say to our listeners, I came up with these questions, and you obviously have the option to say pass on any of it.
Oh, yeah.
Before we proceed, give us kind of a snapshot when he comes off of a crazy long tour. What's the next day look like for you guys?
Yeah. So this has been like the ebb and flow of trying to figure out his entry, you know, and I think in any career that a spouse has, like there is, like with travel, it's something you have to figure out. And so we've really, you know, we have had trial and error, and we first know how long Brandon can be gone before I fall apart. And so say he's gone a couple of days and he's on a different time zone, and I know he's coming in late and he hasn't had sufficient sleep, I fully give him grace for a day. Like I'm not like, take the kids, I'm
right,
out.
Right.
I really like, honestly, have learned to thrive being one in control of my home, and two, like I'm pretty independent. And honestly, I have a rhythm, and sometimes he throws it off.
Yeah.
He comes home and I'm like, whoa, you need too much from me. I was doing really good. There's obviously frustration because I would like my husband to come home and be rested and like all in. But he is. He's always all in with the kids. But you know, like I do have to give him a day or two because it's just the reality of like—
Yeah, he's got to feel so depleted.
Oh,
too,
yeah. And traveling is not fun. It's not glamorous. So I usually like have a good meal for him, and we spend a little time together and put the kids to bed. And I just, you know, I give him a lot of grace. I let him watch a show that like, he just needs to put his mind at ease and just be. So we've become homebodies, which is something that I never thought. Like Brandon is a hardcore social seven, life of the party. And in this season, he is not that way. It's so crazy.
Do you enjoy that?
Well, I think for so long, I'm so used to him being that way. And I am more of the introvert. And now it's kind of flipping. I'm like, let's go hang out with people. Let's do this. I've been home.
Right.
So trying to figure out.
I need some adults to interact with.
As he's changed, I've changed, which is normal and good. But it's definitely like, you know, I'd like to have some couple friends, but he's like, no, I just want to hang out with you. It's good. We have like a few really good couple friends that like just take him as he is. And like, he doesn't feel depleted after being
Yeah.
good,
and so. What's the age of y'all's kids?
We have a 6-month-old. We have a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. We have all boys.
Three boys. How have you handled, it just comes with the territory, once you are a public figure like Brandon is, there's more people who are watching and your life is just more accessible to other people, not necessarily the deeper parts, but you're going to have folks that ignorantly take shots at your husband.
I will say this is very fresh. Have you been on Instagram? Is that
no, like? I haven't.
We're coming off the Grammys, which was such a high for Brandon. I did not go because it's not my thing.
What's not your thing? Being around people?
Award shows.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Like, I do not want to glam up and spend 12 hours talking to people and love him. I pick one a year and I go all in for that one. But I did not go.
What's the latest?
The latest is Brandon and with Mav City won 4 Grammys, which was like a huge deal. Brandon gave the gospel in his acceptance speech. It was beautiful. But because of a performance that happens at a different show after. So all the awards are during the day and then they go to the night show and it's just like for TV. It's literal trash. But there was a really bad performance and everyone's angry that he would even go to the Grammys and accept like a pagan award essentially. So it's just like we're coming off this high, like we're just celebrating and so happy, but also like dealing with just so much like negativity and kind of ruins it all.
Wait, so because Brandon went to the Grammys in which someone performed a song that wasn't godly.
It was terrible.
Okay.
Yeah, just because he was in the room, I think.
I guess I just don't understand those sentiments, honestly.
It's just a perfect example of like how we are all human, right? We all mess up. We're not doing it perfect. We're learning as we go. But we were really excited to celebrate something as a family. I was so proud of Brandon. And it's just never, it just feels like no matter what, you're not going to please everybody.
Right.
And that's the constant tension of like, our life is a little more public now. And there is so much good. And then there's so much love. And then there's always going to be the corner of, and it's honestly, the hardest part is mostly Christians. You just can't please. So there's some out, you know, just never going to do it right. And that's a hard tension.
Yeah. Do you see you guys as needing to get to a place where you can navigate that a little more seamlessly? See stuff like that at a point in your life where you're just like, it just white noise.
Brandon's great at it. Brandon could care less. He does not care. But as the spouse who's often more in the back seat, which when it comes to like his career, like I choose to stay back and be with my family. I just know where I am. I know where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm confident in that. So when I see, and I know who my husband is, and that's also what's hard, is I can get very defensive and it is a flaw and I'm working on it, but it's easier for me. Whereas Brandon's like, I don't care. Let the haters hate. And I'm like, but it's mean. So it's definitely like something that I'm trying to grow in and actively like trying to figure out for sure.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Because it's the same. I'm like, Brandon, just think about if it was directed at me. I mean, you would be out there fighting someone,
sure,
right? Your wife.
Sure.
Same as a husband or kids.
Right.
I will fight someone.
Right. All right. Now be honest. Has your fingers actually typed the keyboards in response to a hater?
Oh yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I always try to do it very nicely, but at the same time, like, oh yeah, I've repented. Don't worry.
People have to jump all over. Oh, his wife. Yes. Yeah. I mean that got you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Easier said than done.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Tell us some of the crazy stories. Is it safe to say that typically the craze comes from girls with crushes?
No. I mean, that stuff does not bother me, like, at all. I'm confident in Brandon, and I do find my husband attractive. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you could think he's cute, too. That doesn't bother me. We've had some weird stuff, people showing up at our house. No, like, looking up our address, coming to our house, that kind of stuff. That's where I draw the line with, like, it's not okay. It's weird. We haven't really had any weird stalker situations. We've had a few, like, people pretending to be Brandon, tricking women into believing that they're in a relationship type stuff. We've had that, which is, it feels very violating.
Wait, so pretending to be Brandon and
on the internet.
And then making relationships with people. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, theoretically, someone could say, oh my gosh, Brandon's being unfaithful. Here's proof.
Right. Except it's never from his actual account.
Sure.
Yeah. And we, you know, we have gotten police involved a few times just because, honestly, out of fear for the woman being lied to and doing things that could get her in trouble. So, but we've never had to like, I've never had like a young girl show up like, Brandon, at my house or anything. Just like people coming to our house, looking in our doors, that kind of stuff, which is, it's not okay.
Yeah. You guys will both not like this at all, but on Sunday mornings, I'm typically online and praying with people online and chatting with people online. We get all the time, where's Brandon?
I'm sorry. And that's the thing, like,
y'all've got to hate that, you know, because it's like, this is worship, but
exactly. You know, I mean, like, coming to church on Sunday is a totally different experience now for both of us. Okay, I think I'll say this. Brandon is so good with people. Like, he carries so much love, and he will talk to anyone, and he will sit and wait for the next person and the next person and the next person, which looks really bad, like, after church on a Sunday. Like, there's a line of people to talk to Brandon. But for him, it's literally just listening to people and just giving them love. And he is so drained after, but he doesn't. He stays there until the last person. And there are some days where he's like, Brittany, I can't. Let's go before it even starts. And I've had people say, oh, look, Brandon's down there being famous. And I just want to be like, no, he's actually like laying his life down. He would rather be eating lunch at the restaurant with his family. But we sit and we wait and we hear people. We love them. We pray for them. And so as cringy as it is, it's also like so beautiful at the same time.
Sure.
Because it's usually just someone wanting to share how Brandon's song has. And so.
See, that right there, I think, should be a good lesson for all of us. Because, sure, I could see someone being like, oh, he's just relishing that.
Exactly.
Where in actuality, you guys are serving people. Y'all'd rather be at the restaurant.
And I will say. Like,
and I don't mean that you guys don't care about people. I'm just saying that it's a normal
Sunday where we're just going to attend. We're not even going to. He's not on. And we're just going to attend. And like someone sees him and then a line just slowly forms. I will say that I'm typically the one that dips out. And I'm like, I am not built the way Brandon is. Like, I am a true introvert. He can do it and he can do it longer. So it's typically like, all right, I'll meet you in the car.
Yeah.
I'm the bad one. And like, and a lot of times, like, people do want to talk to me, but I'm just like, I got three kids tugging on me, and I actually want to go talk to my friend. And so I'm like, I'll see you. Yeah. And then he'll get in the car. He's like, Brittany, you left me. I'm like, I'm sorry. I couldn't today.
I thought this was pretty cute. So my mom pulls a typical grandma move when we were at the Christmas Eve service together, she tells our boys, that guy right there is really famous. Typical grandma, they say. And so my boys, basically 13 and 11, they're in line in the cafe and they get their drinks and everything. Well, my youngest son, he's always been his little unique self. He has long, straight hair. So he's mistaken for a girl a lot and he just rolls with it.
Our boys, when they
have yeah, he yeah. rolls with it. Well,
good
they,
for him.
They both come back and they're like, hey, that guy that's famous actually offered to pay for our drinks, but we had already paid for it. And then my son with the long hair and said, he complimented me on my hair, which I did think that was cool because typically it's, why do you have hair that long? Or, right. hey, sweetie. But, you know, for a grown man to say, hey, I really like your hair, it was cool.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it was cool. It doesn't sound as if this is the case. Do you ever feel left out when he's out on the road?
I got over that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And that was even before, that was just in ministry alone. Like, we have been in ministry since the day we got married. Brandon was before we got married. Having kids, like, I can't be at everything. I can't be at every service, every weekday event. And I really had to just, like, and at first I'd be like, so what I miss? Like, give me the gossip, you know, like typical young girl. And I've really learned that like, I don't need the details. It doesn't benefit me. When I feel called to go, I'm all in and I'm not thinking about home. And that's when I know I need to go. And I really pick and choose and pray about what I need to be at with Brandon. And there's a few things I've missed that I'm like, I should have been there and that's on me. And there's a lot of times where Brandon will be like, I actually really need you at this one. And I'm like, okay, I will figure it out.
Can you give some examples of what those situations would be?
I think there was like an Elevation recording that I made an excuse. I just couldn't be there. He really wanted me there. And then it ended up being like, just a really special night where he felt like I just should have been a part of it. It's just stuff like that. It's usually like a worship night. You know, the really big things like passion conferences and all that, I actually don't ever really see Brandon. I'm not really doing ministry with him. He is called to like be with his band. He has sound checks, all that. Honestly, sometimes it just feels like I'm alone. And so I've really learned like the smaller things. Like if he's going to go do like a women's conference at a church that's having him in, a lot of times he'll be like, I want you with me. I want you beside me. And we're going to do this together. And really makes me feel involved. So honestly, it's usually the smaller things, you know, and it's lonely traveling. And
there's times he's gone for what, 2 months, 3 months?
No, the longest we've ever gone apart without seeing each other is like 16 days.
Gotcha.
And we learned that at day 14, I fall apart and Brandon falls apart. When he traveled this summer, we made sure that he flew in at least for 2 days before that we hit the 2 week mark. His tours are usually like 3 days on, 3 days off type thing. We've really gotten good at saying no. And like people will throw money. Like, it's hard to say no,
sure.
But like we've learned that like, it's not worth it. No dollar is worth coming home and feeling like we're not one.
Right.
So I'm totally fine being home with the kids. Like in all honesty, I have my friends, I have tennis and like, I'm in a really happy place and I've got a good rhythm going. And if I'm not there, like there's a reason I'm not supposed to be there and I'm totally fine with it. Yeah. Like, I mean, I didn't even want to go to the Grammys. So I don't need to be there.
Yeah.
But I do know when he needs me there. So.
Gotcha. No one is above making a mistake. It's just the mark of being human. Anyone can make a mistake. And do you ever worry about him making a mistake with another woman?
Okay, I will say this. Brandon Lake loves his wife. Almost so I'm like, I mean, I will say he worships the ground I walk on. He does. My husband loves me so much. I've never doubted that ever. But it doesn't mean of course he's not human. For me, I really have a fear and it's something that we talk through a lot. I'm always reminding him of him being put in a situation in which it could look bad. I'm like, you always have to be with your manager. You always have to be with like, have someone with you. You should never be alone in the hotel. Once you're in your room, obviously, I'm like, someone could trap you in the hall. I don't live in fear of Brandon cheating on me. Of course, anything can happen.
And that's any married couple.
Anything can happen at any time. But I do not live in that fear at all because that man loves me and he needs me and he knows without me, he's done. It's true. But we really have to talk through and I always have to remind him about just like how things can look. Even if it's innocent, how easy it is for one woman to make it look like something that it isn't. And those are conversations we have. And I'll also, like, more so, I live in the conversation with Brandon, and it might be out of fear, yes, but of just him being in a hotel room alone and the temptation
sure.
that comes with that. And are you struggling? do we need to have counseling this week? And, you know, like, honestly, I'll just like straight say it, like porn is more my fear.
Right.
And it's not something that Brandon and I have faced in our marriage. It's something that we walked through before he got married. And he opened up about an addiction before we were married. And, you know, those things still live with us today. Like, you can't really ever unsee things and what those things did to him. So it's definitely a conversation that we have a lot. And it's usually, it looks like this: hey, Brandon, you okay? Are you doing okay right now? Are you struggling? And it really hurts when he says, you know what, actually I'm struggling. Like, I'm feeling pretty depleted right now, and I need you. I need more of you. And I was like, how can I be any more of me to give you? Yeah. And it's just, that is like the true marriage, like the biggest things we deal with. It's like, he wants more of me. And I'm like, there's no more of me.
Right.
But that's 3 kids and 2 dogs and a traveling husband. And, but no, I do not live in fear of Brandon cheating on me.
Yeah. My therapist, I don't remember what we were talking about, but she just made the point. She's like, everyone wants to be a rock star. In other words, there's something appealing about fame for any single human being. It doesn't sound as if you're wired to really relish that, but there's got to be a part of it that's just fun, right?
There is. Yeah, that is tough.
Like, do you like the fact that some people are searching in Lake's wife?
No. I don't like that. I will say it is very nice to, okay, because serving in ministry for so long and being Brandon's wife, like, I was never treated anything special. You know, like, I'm just, we were on staff at the church and been at different churches, and I felt like I was never like on the in, right? This can be really honest. And now I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm on, like, people actually like see me and like me and want to hear from me. And it's like, for the first time, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. It's like, all of a sudden, because of Brandon, it's like, people want to know who I am. And it's like, but I've always been who I am. And so that's one thing with like Brandon's fame. It is funny now, all of a sudden people care. And I don't know if I like it or not, to be honest.
Right.
It's like, kind of, you find out when people are genuinely like your friend or not.
Sure. Now, having really seen the inside of fame, is it a lot clearer to you just how lethal fame can be to someone's mind?
Yes, absolutely. And in other words, we're not meant to hold it. Brandon always says, like, it's meant to reflect off of us onto God. And I love that. Brandon and I and our family, we feel called to serve the Lord. And so it's a really hard tension of, like, people, like, wanting things from us, praising us. And it's like, how do you handle it? It's like the ever question that, like, I don't have an answer to. It's like always in my head and I struggle with it. And honestly, watching people do it terribly is, it's gross. Watching people, you know, go from like just a normal person to like wearing certain things and driving cars and needing a bigger house and watching their marriage fall. And it's like, this is why we moved out to, cut that. This is why we moved out to the country.
What's the address?
Because out there we are literally no one. It's us in the woods and our animals. I hate it. And I hate what it's done to my friends. I hate what it's done to the church. I do. I hate it. But you're right in the previous question, but you can't help but kind of like it. It's like this weird tension, right?
Yeah.
You want more of it, but you hate it. I'm proud of myself in that I diving deeper into my family, to my kids. We've had nothing. Like, we've had $0 in our bank account to having money in our bank account. And I will tell you, because we gave when we had nothing, it's so easy to give now. And it's feels so good because we were the ones receiving. And so it's never a money thing for us. Like, we would give away every penny we have. We give away, it doesn't even matter. We love to give. I will say with fame, I love watching my husband do what he does best, which is love people. And that part of this has been so beautiful because he's able to pour into people and he always has enough time and another word. He is full of encouragement. And so I will say, like, I don't know if we're handling it well in God's eyes. I pray about it often, but like I watch how he loves people so well. And that to me is like, what else can we do?
Yeah.
And maybe God chose our family because of that. And I don't know. It's tough. It is tough. And it's, I hope when I look Jesus in the face that he says he's proud of us, how we handled it. I pray.
Seeing him grow up over the years, it does seem as if you guys are doing better than most. And I hope as the years go by, potentially, y'all can be a part of de-celebritizing the Christian industry. That may be the key, Brittany, is there's a difference between being famous and then carrying yourself like a celebrity. Right. And I would say for Christians, you can't help if you're famous, but you can help whether or not you carry yourself like a celebrity. Would that resonate?
Yeah. And Brandon still just goes out in the foyer, hangs out with people. I hate to even say this, but we don't like have security at church. You know, like, not that that's a bad thing. I mean, it'd probably be helpful. But we really try to walk in like normal people, leave normal people. I don't have someone taking care of my kids with me. Like, the biggest thing is I want my children to remember that it was always mom and dad. They were doing it with us. They remember the stories that how we bless people. They remember how God blessed us and like the impossible and like how it's always been God carrying all of this and all of these stories. We're like, gosh, can you believe God did that? How crazy is this life? You know, it's really all I care about is how Jesus sees it at the end and how my kids look back when they're older and see how we did it as a family. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Well, I know you love Brandon, but I'll say that being Brandon's wife is just one part of who you are. So
yeah.
Who is Brittany Lake and what does she want out of life? All right, you'll have to wait to hear her answer. We'll actually be having Brittany back to talk specifically about her life, her heart, struggles, and expectations for the future. We look forward to that. Hey, we hope you are enjoying this series. In the show notes, there's a link to our Facebook page as well as a place to subscribe to the podcast. There's also a link to my email address. We're actually playing around with the idea of creating some digital spaces for friends and even strangers to get together online, chill, get to know one another, and discuss some of the content in these episodes. There's no needed commitment or expectations to be there regularly, and we haven't even started them yet, but I'd love to hear from you if this sounds interesting at all. I can simply keep you posted. Thanks for listening to this podcast.
Oh, I can't get enough of your love.
Your love.
Oh, I can't